Globale Dialoge.
Se Adelhoe, Mujeres in Umba. Meiter in der Luft.
O Radio No, Nanoko.
Donne in Aria.
Women on Air.
Immer abrufbar auf www.noso.at.
So, welcome back to the Global Dialogues of Women on Air. I am Mirabel, and with me in the studio is Verena. Hi, Verena.
Hi, Mirabel.
So, we both went to the Conference of Development, or Entwicklungstagung in German. But, Verena, what actually is the Entwicklungstagung?
The Entwicklungstagung, or in English, the Development Conference, is Austria's largest event on development policy. It offers space for debate and reflection on current challenges. The idea is to offer space for dialogue between science and practice. Reflection on current issues of development policy, networking, and political education in a broader sense. The Development Conference wants to initiate a dialogue at eye level instead of presenting a conference monopolized by prominent figures from above. The idea is of a double dialogue between committed science and critical civil society on the one hand, and between the global north and south on the other. The Austrian Development Conference takes always place somewhere else. This year it was organized at the Johannes Kepler University in Linz in Upper Austria on a weekend from the 11th to the 13th of November. The topic was global inequalities. Ever since, development has been discussed and debated. Poverty, for instance, global income inequality, has been a very important point of reference. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the existing imbalances have even worsened. The climate catastrophe and current conflicts, such as the war in Ukraine, also have an impact on a global level and reinforce existing inequalities. The conference focused on the questions, what can and what must be done against global inequality? What role does development cooperation play in this? Can inequality reduction serve to prevent violence and conflict? What scope for action do the SDGs or alternative approaches opens up? So, Mirabel, why did you want to participate?
Hi again from my side. So I went to the Entwicklungstagung, or in English, the Development Conference, also for the Women on Air, but I'm also studying international development studies. So I was quite interested in all the topics you already mentioned. And I really like the principles of the conference on finding, you could call it collective agency or solution strategies on how to solve issues like global inequalities. One topic I was especially interested in, and it's kind of covering all the ones you already mentioned, is inequalities, migration and climate justice, and how these three categories all depend on each other. And that was also the forum Verena and me were visiting. The forum was about that we are all feeling the effects of climate change, but in the way you have to face it depends on where you live and which social group you belong to. This could be, for example, characteristics like gender, ethnicity, skin color, age or class, just to name a few. And in the forum, two international guests from the Global South were invited to speak about migration in the context of climate change. And this was kind of the first part of the forum. And in the second part, we had like interactive workshops, which we will also talk about in the show later on. We talked to Daniela Paredes-Grijalva, a researcher on migration and also a co-organizer of the forum, how and why they did choose the speakers.
Thank you so much. It's a good question. And I'm happy that it raised your interest. I cannot take full credit as an individual, but I worked with a team. That's Michael from VADC, Janine and Claudia from WIDE, Women in Development, and myself. So together, we've been thinking about this for a very long time. We've been thinking about whose voices are always missing, who do we want to have on the panel, what kind of perspectives can we bring into the conversation, and broaden the narrative. Because there are several narratives, but still the mainstream one is telling us climate change will displace people internationally, and this is a problem. So we need to address it as a problem, right? When if we bring people like Paula Banerjee, who speaks about labor rights, or we bring Pato Kresice, who brings in African climate activists' voices, then we have a whole other picture. It's not just a problem that Europe needs to deal with because people from the global south will come in the millions to Europe, right? There's actually much more to do. There's more to do with labor rights. There's more to do with agricultural techniques. There's more to do with financing, and so on. The list goes on and on.
My Lucifer is lonely. Standing there, killing time. Can't commit to anything but a crime. Leaders on vacation. An open invitation. Animals, evidence. Pearly gates look more like a picket fence. Once you get inside them, got friends but can't invite them. Hills burn in California. My turn to ignore ya. Don't say I didn't warn ya. All the good girls go to hell. Cause even God herself has enemies, and once the water starts to rise and heaven's out of sight, she'll want the devil on her team. My Lucifer is lonely. Look at you needing me. You know I'm not your friend without some greenery. Walking wearing feathers, Peter should know better. Your cover-up is caving in. Man is such a fool, why are we saving him? Poisoning themselves now, begging for our help. Wow. Hills burn in California. My turn to ignore ya. Don't say I didn't warn ya. All the good girls go to hell. Cause even God herself has enemies. And once the water starts to rise and heaven's out of sight, she'll want the devil on her team. My Lucifer is lonely. My God is gonna own me. There's nothing left to say now.
Welcome back to Woman on Air. This song was Billie Eilish, All the Good Girls Go to Hell. I chose to bring that song into the show, especially because there's this one line where she's singing, "Hills burn in California, don't say I didn't warn you." And yes, I think regarding the climate crisis, we also can say that we haven't been warned. Daniela already gave us a small sneak peek on who the two smart and witty guest speakers were, but I again want to give them a proper introduction. Professor Paula Banerjee is best known for her work on women in border areas and women in forced migration. She is the president of International Association for Studies in Forced Migration and is a faculty member of the Department of South and Southeast Asian Studies in the University of Calcutta. On top of that, she is the winner of many awards and accolades. In the forum, she talked to us about labor and migration. Let's take a listen.
My country became the country of origin for internal displacement, for labor to, let's say, the petrodollar countries, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, etc. And it was also the transition town from Bangladesh. People went into India and they moved towards the, the petrodollar countries. Trafficking. You know, when we were talking about settled paradigm, and then we said, okay, migrant labor, we understand. But then migrant labor was not like a free agent. Suddenly you had people who were being brought into it, just like in the slave movements or in the serf movements. And these people did not have any documents. And here the world is screaming that We need documented migrants. And here you have this whole huge industry of traffickers that is maintained by support from major international actors. Because industries want labor cheap. And if you're documented, you have rights to claim that I want this right, I want this insurance, I want payment at this time. So there was a will to keep people undocumented. And yet we are constantly shouting at the workers themselves, who are the most or people with the least agency to get documents.
So as Paula just said, and which I think is an important point to remember, is how industries want to have undocumented migrants because they do profit from it. Because if you are documented, you have the right to have rights.
How does the group of people transition from being, you know, a climate-threatened region to a climate-settled region? And this whole process is called adaptation. Now, there are two words that we have to remember. A word called resilience, where the onus is again on the worker, that they have to be resilient. The other word is adaptation. That is where world community is supposed to invest resources so that people learn to adapt themselves. So, you know, all of this is happening now, and then you have the SDGs of that is supposed to be fulfilled by 2030. No chance in hell. I mean, it's a joke, you know. And progressively what is happening is that in trying to bring sort of some sort of a sense out of the chaos, we are actually increasing the chaos. We are developing, we are understanding the categories that we initially founded were not categories at all. There were multiple other categories. And that is why today people like us say that we cannot divide people into IDPs or refugees or stateless, because today's refugee can be tomorrow's stateless. Today's IDPs, if they have some resources, can become a refugee tomorrow. Or our stateless can be trafficked and become a trafficked person. So this whole notion has no meaning at all. And if you say migrant workers are not refugees, migrant workers are economic migrants, and they don't need protection, again, a false premise. Because they are forced out by hunger, death in the family. And if that is not reason to be forced out, what is? So this is the time when we, why a group like this is so important. Because people like us feed into policies. And we need your inputs to develop those. You know, it's so difficult because there is so much of politics running around. And yet we constantly need new ideas. And so your participation is very, very important so that we can design better policies that come from people who are thinking about it and who are not being forced migrants themselves. So they have the leisure to understand it from a so-called dispassionate perspective. Hence, my present skill.
So there were quite a few points Paula mentioned. First of all, maybe to contextualize, just transition is an instrument which is supposed to ensure that the transition to a carbon neutral economy is fair and that no one is left behind. But just like the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, which should be fulfilled by 2030, which actually caused a laugh in the group, as you might heard, it's just not realistic to push these agendas through in this form. And as Paula said, in trying to bring some sort of sense in the chaos, we're increasing it. But what I especially liked in the end, she was pushing the message forward, and which I thought was a nice agency-oriented conclusion, that we need new ideas to design better politics and that we need the participation. Before we take a listen to Pato Kilisici, the other guest speaker in the forum, I want to play a song from Bia Ferreira. She's a Brazilian singer and has been in the last years one important defender of free speech in Brazil, mainly about racism and LGBTQIA plus issues.
De repente, minha mente mente me levou de volta pra você. Inconsciente, falei seu nome sem perceber. Num suspiro, riso, tiro minha alma daqui e a levo, passeio pra perto de ti. Aquele peito que eu dormi, tão profundo que perdi o avião. Aquele braço que sempre tem um abraço que é tão bom e que eu sinto tanta falta. Sabe o que me mata? O tempo que eu passo, o seu medo que extravasa, coragem que me falta pra admitir que eu sinto sua falta. Sabe o que me mata? O tempo que eu passo, o seu medo que extravasa, coragem que me falta pra admitir que como eu tô sentindo agora, só você me fez. Volta pra você. Inconsciente, eu falei seu nome sem perceber. Num suspiro, riso, tiro minha alma daqui e a levo, passeio mais perto de ti. Aquele peito que eu dormi, tão profundo que eu perdi o avião. Aquele braço que sempre tem um abraço que é tão bom e que eu sinto tanta falta. Sabe o que me mata? O tempo que não passa, o seu medo que extravasa, coragem que me falta pra admitir que eu sinto sua falta. Sabe o que me mata? É. O tempo que não passa, o seu medo que extravasa, que me falta pra admitir que como eu tô sentindo agora, só você me fez.
Welcome back to Woman on Air. This is Mirabel and with me is Verena. Pato Kelesizi was the other invited guest speaker we got to listen and learn from. Pato works in sustainable development and climate justice in Gaborone, Botswana, and is the founder and host of the podcast Sustain 267. The podcast is a series of conversations with Africans about climate change and sustainability to bring visibility to their contributions and solutions within the climate justice movement. In the forum, she was talking to us about marginalized voices in the climate change, but also how we hear more of them.
3%. Does 3% mean anything to any of you in the context of African climate change?
Yes.
I think Africa is responsible for only 3% of global CO2 emissions.
Exactly. So Africa only responsible for 3% of emissions, 1% of historical emissions, but predicted by the IPCC report to be the worst affected region by the climate crisis. And what that then looks like is that in 2021, there were 2.6 million people who were displaced in sub-Saharan Africa due to climate-related disasters, and that's internal displacement. So as we have this conversation, I know that one of the main conversations when it comes to migration in this area is that everyone wants to come to Europe. You're getting very few people here. You're getting very, very few people. A lot of the migration is happening internally, and it's happening regionally. And then, so that's a past figure. And then looking in the future, there's predicted to be 85.7 million climate migrants in sub-Saharan Africa by 2050. And then the top five internally displaced persons due to climate disasters are in African countries. Over the past four decades, weather-related disasters in the SADC region have left 2.4 million people homeless. I'm from a country with 2.3 million people. So basically, our whole country empty. So even as we look at these numbers, we need to remember that there's data poverty across the continent. So these are very, very conservative numbers. They said those numbers are way off.
So again, an important point that Pato mentioned is that especially media from the global north is portraying that all refugees want to come to Europe and are going to Europe. And the reality is that this is not the reality. Because as Pato said, most migration is happening internally.
As we look at how we address the issue of climate-fueled migration, we need to think about how do we ensure that people are able to work, people are able to get an education, people have freedom of movement that also ensures that they're able to be productive members of society. Because through that as well, it's not everyone who will leave. This is an opportunity for people to earn money, governments possibly to tax them, and for remittances to be back home to start to build something that people can return to. This is an opportunity for countries that are the recipient countries of the displaced people. This is labor. This is skilled people. If someone is leaving home through hardship, risking their lives and anything, it says a little bit about their work ethic. These are people who could be such, to use a crude economic term, assets to wherever they end up, instead of looking at them as liabilities. So in the session, we know that we hear a lot about, you know, so many people are coming across. So in the session, we'll look at those voices of those people who end up having to migrate. We don't hear a lot from them. How do we hear more from them? How do we, in our different respective areas, try to amplify the voices that are there? Please don't use voice for the voiceless. Everyone has a voice, just that some are platformed and some aren't.
I can work with that. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed the little sneak peeks of the talks. After that, the forum got a little bit more interactive and we did some group work, which Verena will tell you about.
What is happening to our world? Have you ever stopped to notice? What does it take for you to see lives are being lost? With all the storms raging, corals dying, ocean levels rising, it's a threat to our human rights. Fossil fuels burning us past 1.5 degrees. What are we gaining from this madness? Our people are in danger. We're calling out to you, International Court of Justice. Advisory opinion on human rights and climate change. We're calling out to you, now to you.
Yes, we have a duty to all of mankind. Legal obligations must stand to defend our rights.
This chance to get clarity from the International Court of Justice on the legal obligations. In a struggle for survival with a million voices. Save the Paris Agreement. Everyone must act. So better mankind, wake up now, it's not too late. Raise your voices up, speak for the children of tomorrow. With every forest burning, every person moving, every day is passing by, and time is running out. Bit by bit, the world is heating over, and it seems to never end.
International Court of Justice and advisory opinion on human rights and climate change. We're calling out to you, United Nations.
Leaders of the world,
leaders of today. Protect the rights of the human race. We're calling out to you. Save us.
Welcome back to the Global Dialogues today with Mirabel and me, Verena. We just listened to the song Climate Change at the International Court of Justice from Vanessa Quay, Stan Enters, and Sheila Wells, star musicians of Vanuatu, a small Pacific island. They call on world leaders to adopt a resolution at the UN General Assembly requesting the International Court of Justice to provide an advisory opinion on the obligations of states under international law to protect the rights of present and future generations against the adverse effects of climate change. Fantastic. So, after having received an input from Paula Banerjee from the University of Calcutta and Bato Kelesitsa from the South African Climate Action Network in Botswana, the participants were sent into workshops to work on specific topics connected to inequality, migration, and climate justice. Now, let us find out what were the results of these groups and how did the people experience them.
So could you tell us in what group you have been right now? What was the topic? And kind of what is your final result? What is your outcome?
So hi, I'm Julia.
Hi.
Nice to meet you guys. I've been participating in the group that focuses on employment. With Paula as our mentor, I would say. The outcome is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Okay, so it's a surprise.
It's a surprise, yeah. It's going to be very active. And the discussions were very lively. It's been an organizational effort to put together this form of showcasing what a specific case of being forced to move due to climate issues might look like. And yeah, we're trying to maybe tackle this issue in a creative way, as we were asked to.
Okay, Juliet doesn't want to tell us what the result of the group was. However, we will find out later. Our next question was, how did she feel and what will she take with her from the group work?
I think the most dominant feeling that I'm taking away, rather than information, because I think we're lucky enough to have information available to us 24/7, so I'm rather impressed by what I'm feeling throughout this experience. And that is just, you know, a mixture of being touched in a sad way, you know, like trying to really put myself into those different scenarios is not an easy experience. And I think as our voices from the Global South have pointed out, it's such a huge privilege to even have to take this extra step to put yourself into those positions. And I think this is the perspective that I'm trying to be aware of the whole time, but that I'm definitely taking away the most and the strongest. And also agency, you know, taking, not talking about people's voices, like hearing people's voices. Everybody has a voice. We don't need to patronize anybody.
Thanks.
Now let us finally find out what was the result of this group led by Paula Banerjee and where Julia took part.
I'm an old widow. I'm not moving. I'm staying back and probably dying in my home.
Okay, I tried to reach my friend. I was lucky enough to reach him, and he said he couldn't give us a job, so I packed my bags, I got my passport, I got my document, I got my degree. I want to leave as soon as possible.
Yeah, safe for me.
Well, that sounds great for you guys. I don't have a passport. I don't have any contacts outside of my home. I actually have to go in order to support the people that are still here. So I wish you luck, but yeah, I'm going to have to find a way.
I got all my stuff. In my truck, I would just go to the outside of the island. I think it's safe there. I would stay here. So I would stay on the island.
Well, unfortunately, the news had reached me that at home many people have died. People who were here before with us, they're not anymore. People who weren't able to relocate. People who were not young enough, who didn't have the opportunity and the resources to move. Me, on the other hand, I managed to scramble money together with all of my family. They kind of supported me for me to be able to support them. I used human trafficking. What was I supposed to do, you know? I contacted somebody that was recommended to me by another friend of a friend, and I'm stuck here. I don't have a passport. I'm not inside this country. I don't know where to go. I can't go back home anymore. There have been experiences that people have told me and that I've seen that were just unspeakable, to be honest. And yeah, I don't know what to do.
The situation is horrible on the island. We don't have electricity, the infrastructure is gone. So many people have died. I checked the house, the old widow, the house is gone. Nothing's left there. And we all need food aid. There's no jobs, nothing to do. It's horrifying.
So, the result of this workshop was a theater.
We decided pretty early on we want to get hands-on with it. And so we put on a little theater-inspired show. We had a couple of acts that were supposed to really simplify but symbolize a potential situation and how that showcases how migrant workers could have been displaced and what potential outcomes and challenges they're faced with and what outcomes could happen given different situations, you know.
Who had the idea to deal with this topic with a theater?
Well, it was inspired by Paula, our mentor. She put the complete, like, if you want to say, artistic liberty into our hands. So she was the one giving the impetus to do this, and in the end, we all decided on it and loved it. And I think it was great because every single member of the group was actively taking part in this. And it, yeah, I think it came across a bit funny too, which is okay at some level. Of course, we're not actors. We didn't write a script, but it really wasn't our intention to make light of the situation, but rather to go through certain scenarios and kind of work with them, in which people could be confronted with which people could be confronted with, given the situation of being displaced by natural disasters.
How did Julia feel to play this role?
Honestly, my personal role was of somebody that was trying to plan to migrate in order to feed their families again. This is not my experience. I want to make that very clear. We're trying to give this idea. So I tried to make a plan in this situation in order to feed a family that's staying behind because they're too old to migrate. And unfortunately, I didn't have any documentation. I didn't have a passport. So I used human trafficking resources, scrambled the money from my family and tried to migrate in order to work and send money home. But it wasn't successful. So this is, I think, the storyline of a lot of people that actually lived this experience, and that was our main focus, to highlight this and those different scenarios in which you might find yourself in if you're somebody that is displaced or that has to actually make the decision to leave their homes because of natural disasters, because of, you know, any given reason.
Finally, I wanted to know from Julia what her background is and why she decided to take part in the conference.
I study actually here at JKU. I'm doing my master's in sociology, and I have a heavy focus on inequality studies. I have a heavy focus in gender studies and also in developmental theories and studies. So this is definitely how I came to be here, and this is also where I'm trying to focus my attention to within this scientific field.
Now let us listen to Paula Banerjee. Was she satisfied with the outcome of the group work?
Okay. So, hi, Paula. Thank you very much for all your input. Just like kind of a speed dating question, what were your expectations coming to this conference, and what do you take out of it? What were you surprised of, and what, yeah.
Okay. Hi. It's lovely to be part of Women in Air, and my expectations was that there's going to be a lot of young people. I will get to have a lot of inputs. I will talk to them about the complexities of the situation of migrant labor. I will tell them that, and converse with them, that, you know, these are people who are not criminals. They are doing something for their life and livelihood, and they deserve a certain kind of respect, because they are not displaced because of something that they have done. So that was my message here. I came here. The first thing that struck me was that how lovely people were. You know, whenever you come from the global south, you have trepidation about the global north. But here people were absolutely lovely. Met a lot of very bright young people who brought in a rainbow of ideas. So that's why my last point was to get the rainbow, and symbolized so many different viewpoints. And the main thing was empathy. And what I'm going back home with is a bag full of new friends.
That's very nice to hear. What are your hopes? What do you think a conference like this has a meaning? Is this the connection, the mobilization of people, bringing them together, as you said, empathy?
Yeah. I believe that conferences like this are primarily works for sensitization, because often young people hear a lot of views which might be actually not right, which might be even detrimental. You often hear that migrant workers are coming here to swamp our workers, to take up the jobs and to create a crisis for the country. So my aim always is to converse with people and to say that it's not right. But it's, of course, my perspective. So I know I'm not on a mission to change anybody, but I'm just there to share my views and show another perspective. And, of course, to build connections, because with connections, you develop respect, you develop love, and you develop friendships.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, we are coming to the next group. Maybe you were already wondering why so many different people asked the questions. That's why one group was led by Mirabel and me. We were focusing on the method how to produce a radio show or a podcast. And the best way to learn the skills is through practice. And that's why our group interviewed participants of the other groups. Mirabel explained it better.
If you want to say it so, we had like a method. So first of all, we were thinking about like talking about what are the women on air. And then we kind of thought if we are doing a show about this forum, how would we structure it and what would be interesting and who would be interesting to talk to. And then we also thought it would be interesting, since you were all in different groups, kind of to get your ideas. What is your outcome of the groups? What did you discuss? What do you take out of this forum? And yeah, and now we also did some recordings of the atmosphere. So then in the end, we want to make a show out of it.
And now you're listening to the outcome of our group. So before presenting the next group, we are having a short music break. We will play the song El Paraíso, in English The Paradise, from Nación Equico and Julieta Venegas. The song is in Spanish and it talks about the paradise we are living in, but we do not realize, or maybe we're going to realize it too late.
Celebro mi destino de sentir como siento, de vivir como vivo, de morir como muero. Y porque lo celebro y soy al fin la nada de la sombra de un verso, os digo muchas gracias.
Puedes vivir en el paraíso. Puedes estar en el paraíso. Y no darte cuenta.
Se apaga en el rocío.
Welcome back to the show Global Dialogues. On the microphones are Verena and Mirabel. We presented two groups which were part of the forum Inequality, Migration and Climate Justice, Voices from the Global South at the Entwicklungstagung, the Development Conference in Austria. Now I will continue to present the remaining three groups. One group was led by Janine Wurzer from the network Women in Development. This group focused on education, but more from Janine herself.
We first explored the diversity in our group, just to know who we are. And then we felt like the issue we were picking up, education, is really, really big. So we discussed who are the target groups of education, whom can we reach, actually. And so we had first big ideas because we were enthusiastic, but then we reduced it to small ideas. Because the big ideas were saying, okay, it needs a different kind of school system, it needs a different kind of education, but certainly we will not be able to move this forward. So we were thinking about it needs the spaces within formal education, but also probably within other settings where we can reflect, where we have time to reflect, where we can meet each other, where we can meet people out of our bubble, those who are more affected, those who are less affected, where we can talk about privileges, where we can reflect, where we can do this self-reflection, and where we can strengthen critical thinking. So I think this was our point we wanted to reach somehow. So we were thinking we have a teacher in our group. We have Maïs, who is doing a lot of direct work with migrant women. We have White, we are doing with adult education. And then we had young activists who have their own student communities, but also some activities.
It sounds like an interesting mixture of people. And what was the actual result of the group work?
So we were thinking, okay, there's a lot of potential target groups. And how can we start if not with our own target group? So we said, okay, let's think about a question that will challenge our own target groups, and we just collect experiences and collect messages and collect what other people think, and maybe it will help us to frame further activities that can be done in different settings on education. And there were a few keywords that were coming up every now and then, and we said it's about responsibility, it's more complex. How are we talking about climate? Which words, how do we frame? And then we said, okay, let's frame a question that for the first will capture what we would like to know more about. And we said, let's talk about climate justice. We finally found the word that it's a simple word, but it's justice makes the difference for us. So, and it brings in this complexity that there is a responsibility that some of us don't see immediately of our target groups. We say, "What? I'm not responsible for all the emissions. I'm a young student. So what did I do?" So we said, okay, let's, as a group, we will take this question of was ist Klimagerechtigkeit für dich? And we will ask it to our target groups, our friends, and we'll come together again with the answers as a group. We exchanged finally email addresses, so we'll meet again, we'll exchange again, and simply see where it brings us to.
So this group will keep in touch. To be continued, one could say. One participant added.
And maybe we can show the answers also to the groups again. So maybe I can bring back the answers in school to my students, the answers from migrants, female migrants, or activists, or yeah, the other answers. And maybe so we can start a discussion again in our groups.
Sounds very interesting. The next group was led by Michael Vanisadech from YIDC, Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation. This group focused on a campaign.
from that we thought, what topics could that be? Yes, you can see that here. And to whom we want to speak. And then we realized that...
Yeah, something was missing in our group. Something that we thought would be quite important, actually, to discuss all of the subjects. And so we thought about how can we raise your attention, also the attention of the conference organization on that subject. Now the problem is, I would like to tell you that, but if I would tell you it, it's like sort of a spoiler. So in a way, we have to stop here and everything else you will see tomorrow.
But of course, we know already what the campaign was.
So when we started to discuss what could be a possible action, we realized that the group of the speakers in this conference is quite diverse, but the moment when we came into a little group, we were only Europeans, even only Austrians and Germans, and so we thought about how could we raise attention on that it's not just important to have a diverse group of speakers, but also try to diversify the audience. And so we thought about a possible action and decided to tomorrow, when we have the fishbowl, we want to place another seat on the stage, put a sheet on it, who is missing, to raise attention on the fact that, of course, people try to make this conference as diverse as possible, but that there's still like a way to go, that even in small groups we can discuss all these issues from more diverse perspectives than we had in our group. And yeah, so that's more or less the point.
So that's very impressive that you already prepared a campaign for tomorrow, because you had only 1 hour of time to talk about preparing or starting a campaign. Do you think you will take something with you after the conference for the future?
Yeah, actually, I think I will do that, because even for me, and I think also for my other group members, it was interesting how fast and how easy it can be to find something where you think, okay, that's not perfect. And even if you don't want to offend the organization, it's important to think also about the audience and how can we try to bring in our critic in a quite impressive way. And so just in 1 hour, we find a dynamic that brought us straight to this action. And yeah, I hope that won't be the last action that I can participate in.
They implemented the campaign successfully. In addition to the chair on the stage, they put on every free seat in the audience a piece of paper with "Who is missing?" The fifth and last group was led by Patu Kelesice. They focused on how to amplify marginalized voices. One participant told us what were the results.
Well, first of all, how to diversify, since many of us don't have, or at least in our group, we realize we want to diversify a lot, but most of us don't do it as much as we want to. So what would be really useful for that is like follow other people on social media, like, for example, African climate activists. Also, when you read something or hear something, try to look for a contrary perspective and actively look for that. When you watch a movie, read an article, check who the authors are, because many times, like when you read from an European newspaper that is also publishing in Africa, sometimes they send Europeans there to write articles about Africa. And last but not least, also talk to people, obviously, people you know or you don't know. Then the second part, how to amplify marginalized voices. Since many of us are coming from an academic context, of course, choose the literature you read and you cite. recommend literature to people you know or people you don't know? Again, on social media, repost the content you see from activists. If you are organizing events, make sure you have participants and voices from the Global South in there. And last but not least, enable the content you want to see by giving money to the people that create it. Like when you hear or listen to a podcast from an activist, then give them money. They need it to keep going. Same goes if you read blogs, because many of most of the times they don't get paid for it and do it voluntarily. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But if you have more recommendations, then let us know. We'll put it on the list.
I think very useful tips. We hope that our show gave you a good insight of the forum Inequality, Migration and Climate Justice, and that you are now eager to attend the upcoming Entwicklungstagung, which will take place at the University of Innsbruck in 2 years. Thank you for listening. Mirabel and Verena.
Globale Dialoge.
Se anan hoe, mujer que se nomba. Meinte in der Luft.
O radio no, nanuko.
Donne in aria.
Women on air.
Immer abrufbar auf www.noso.at.